Editor's preface. This book is half spoken in a deep sleep, half written in mid-sleep. The prayers were all spoken by me in a deep sleep, and indeed, they were spoken by the spirit of my sister Elizabeth through me. Elizabeth can truly be called an angel of God. She died at 16 months old and was a particularly sweet, gifted child. I saw the light of day 4 months after her death. The reflections marked with an F, the sentences, were also spoken in a deep sleep by a spirit who calls herself Hera. The remaining reflections are all written in mid-sleep. When I had written the dedication of this book to my mother-in-law, the spirit, I asked her to give the book a name, to baptize it, she wrote. Call the book, Aeons. I must now confess, to my shame, that I didn't know what aeons actually meant. I-I-N-S-I-M-I-N-H-I-I-L, a asterisk, I-I-H-M, ini oni nin in me, hi M-H-I, tini, uimi in an I. So I looked it up in the dictionary and found this splendid, accurate explanation. Aeons means, among the Gnostics, divine forces that have emanated from God since the beginning of time, and as independent spirits, the firstborn in spirit, power, and matter, preside over the various world ages and world orders. I was now quite happy about the book's title, because I had never received the name of the writing spirit in connection with the reflections. It simply signed, Your Ladder, or one recognizes the spirit by its language. The agreement of the meaning of the word, aeons, with the first works in, spirit, force, matter, seemed to me a confirmation that such minds had written the reflections. Since I had arrived at the name, aeons, in such a strange way, a word which certainly did not spring from my own mind. Adelina V. Wormbrand. Gonobits, late 1887. 3. Follow the voice of your heart, your innermost feeling, ask God for enlightenment, and you will find the way to your calling. A wrongly chosen profession has often destroyed entire lives and been a wasted existence. Oh, sad word! Reason and intellect alone cannot choose a profession, for the heart also wants its pursuits in this life. Woe to him who silences his heart and lets only ambition speak. His life is no longer a life. It is agreed to reach a goal that is set too high. If you have children, observe them closely, study them, let them speak freely and openly, and strive to discern from them the profession best suited to them. Everything is best formed in early childhood. Later, external factors exert a great influence on the growing youth. People are often too reckless in their choice of profession. Many force themselves into a life that is their moral death. Most are not satisfied with the position God has given them and want to move beyond it. Pray earnestly to God for the understanding of your life's calling, so that you may fulfill the task God has set for you. Humility. Few qualities make a person so popular as humility. For it is full of charm, gentleness, and kindness. It is not arrogant. It does not consider itself great. Humility makes one great through this very quality. In humility there is nothing pompous, no arrogance, no overestimation of oneself. It wins people's hearts. It is rooted only in noble natures. Some claim that humility harms a person's progress, that it is a hindrance. This is a misconception. Immodesty makes one unpopular and will harm you in every way. In humility lies inner virtue, humility, the most beautiful ornament of humankind. Humility makes you warm friends, but immodesty makes enemies, is arrogant and ignoble. Those who do not grasp the inner value of humility are blind to are of the most beautiful flowers in the wreath of virtues. 3. Improvement. Improvement is possible for everyone. Christ gave one you the parable of the prodigal son. Read it one with attention. It is touching and moving one in its simplicity and depth. How lovingly one the father welcomes the prodigal son back. One all his sins are forgiven and forgotten because of his repentant one conversion, the Father one forgives. How much more will God, the one Father of goodness, forgive your sins if you ask him for forgiveness with one full of repentance? I call upon the hearts five of all mothers. Let them say if there is no forgiveness one. I know many a mother whose equal's heart threatened to break because of wayward children, one whose head turned grey early with grief over the one ingratitude of her child, and behold, as soon as the child fell into distress and misery, into sickness, there, the mother was there, forgiving, forgetting. Improvement is the great reconciling element, the annihilation of sin, the conversion of all evil to good. To the worst sinner we therefore call out, man, stop, repent, do not despair. Improvement is possible. It never comes too late. Call upon Jesus. He came for all sinners. Grace, you will find with the Redeemer. There you will find comfort and strength for your repentance. There is no sin too great for God to forgive you if you repent. Christ came for you equals all. Look to him, the Redeemer from all sin. Pray. Up after physical death, there is no death. Christ, through his appearance after death, destroyed all death. You will say, Christ rose with his body, the body had disappeared from the grave. Yes. For Christ came to earth and was born under entirely different circumstances than human beings. He had the power of self-incorporation. So he also had the power of self-transformation or dissolution of this body. This lies in Christ's power and is divine power. For you, resurrection means immortality. And should you be born 100 times on earth, you will rise from death each time until you have attained the degree of excellence that is beyond these transformations. Then there is no more death. No more resurrection. Then there is eternal life. Sacrifice. Many people call even the simplest act of love a sacrifice, but true sacrifice is much more than that. When you do something loving and good for your neighbor at the expense of your own ego, at the expense of your comfort, at the risk of harming yourself, that is true sacrifice. When you do something completely forgetting yourself, putting yourself last, thinking only of others. Many works of mercy and dutiful charity are already called sacrifices, and a merely love of humanity and Christian duty. If, for example, you feed an ant, but a fool yourself, this is not a sacrifice. It is a simple act of kindness. Sacrifice puts one's life at risk. It is an extremely rare quality. How often do pride and ambition call themselves sacrifices, when appearances are deceiving? If you want to see true and genuine sacrifice, look to Jesus. Here you will find sacrifice in its highest perfection. Learn from Jesus, follow him. Sincerity. Sincerity comes with the person. It is an innate quality. Some spirits possess it. It can be difficult to cultivate. It is often a blessing, often a misfortune. In any case, sincerity is the mirror of a faithful, good heart. The sincere person will have both friends and bitter enemies. If all people were sincere, then the world would be better, happier. The sincere person is like a sunflower that, without fear, turns its full face to the light, free and open. The sincere person is God's friend. Blessed is he whose soul is free from false appearances and illusions. Though the world may persecute him, he is God's child. Mercy. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Does he who is harsh and unjust towards his brothers truly deserve mercy? If God were to you as you often are to your neighbor, who could stand? Ah, dear friends, you cannot be merciful enough. The mercy of God opens to you the gates of heaven. Do not close your door to the weary traveler. The mercy of God refreshes you daily and blesses you with 1,000 undeserved gifts. Oh! So refresh the hungry and the sick and give from the abundance of a good, merciful heart. The Good Samaritan, of whom Jesus speaks, be your example. Do as he did. Be merciful. Without expecting anything in return, for whoever does good with calculation does it only halfway. Vocation. Every person in this world receives a vocation upon their incarnation, that is, they are called to accomplish and do something specific. God sends the spirits to earth for a particular vocation and purpose. Being born is not an accident, as many say. It is a special law for each individual. Recognizing one's vocation is a difficult matter. It requires, first and foremost, self-knowledge. Can I do this or that? Do I have the abilities? The strength for it? Overestimating oneself will never lead you to the realization of your true vocation. Follow the voice of your heart, your innermost feeling, ask God for enlightenment, and you will find the path to your calling. A wrongly chosen profession has often destroyed entire lives and been a wasted existence. Oh, sad word! Reason and intellect alone cannot choose a profession. For the heart also wants its pursuits in this life. Woe to him who silences his heart and lets only ambition speak. His life is no longer a life. It is agreed to reach a goal that is set too high. If you have children, observe them closely, study them, let them speak freely and openly, and strive to discern from them the profession best suited to them. Everything is best formed in early childhood. Later, external factors exert a great influence on the growing youth. People are usually too reckless in their choice of profession. Many force themselves into a life that is their moral death. Most are not satisfied with the position God has given them and want to move beyond it. Pray earnestly to God for the understanding of your life's calling, so that you may fulfill the task God has set for you. Humility. Few qualities make a person so popular as modesty. For it is full of charm, gentleness, and kindness. It is not arrogant. It does not consider itself great. Modesty makes one great through this very quality. In modesty there is nothing pompous. No pride, no overestimation of oneself. It wins people's hearts. It is rooted only in noble natures. Some claim that modesty harms a person's progress, that it is a hindrance. This is a misconception. Immodesty makes one unpopular and will harm you in every way. In modesty lies inner virtue, humility, the most beautiful ornament of humankind. Modesty makes you warm friends. But immodesty makes enemies, is arrogant and ignoble. Those who do not grasp the inner value of modesty are blind to one of the most beautiful qualities. Flowers in the wreath of virtues. 3. Improvement. Improvement is possible for everyone. Christ gave one you the parable of the prodigal son. Read it one with attention. It is touching and moving one in its simplicity and depth. How lovingly one the father welcomes the prodigal son back. One all his sins are forgiven and forgotten because of his repentant one conversion, the Father one forgives. How much more will God, the one Father of goodness, forgive your sins if you ask him for forgiveness with one full of repentance. I call upon the hearts 5 of all mothers. Let them say if there is number 1 forgiveness. I know many a mother whose equal's heart threatened to break because of wayward children. One whose head turned grey early with grief over the one ingratitude of her child, and see. As soon as the child fell into distress and misery, into sickness, there, the mother was there, forgiving, forgetting. Improvement is the great, reconciling element. The equal we therefore call out, man, stop, repent, do not despair. Improvement is possible. It never comes too late. Call upon Jesus. He came for all sinners. You will find grace with the Redeemer. There you will find comfort and strength for your repentance. No sin is too great for God to forgive you if you repent. Christ came for all of you. Look to him, the Redeemer from all sinners. Praying. It was night. Everything was quiet. I had just prayed and was wondering whether dear God, among the many prayers that had just been spoken to him, had also heard mine. What am I? A poor little human creature, among the trillions of living and thinking beings in the universe. Does God hear everyone? Then my faint vision widened. A blissful feeling came over me. An angel approached me. He laid his shining hand on my forehead, and a glorious image unfolded in my mind's eye. Come, said the angel who called himself Hera, come, child, and see. We were in a sea of worlds. Guided by Hera, I floated in the ether. We were already high above the earth, surrounded by clouds and stars. Now, said Hera, you shall see, feel, and hear the prayers of the earth. At first, I perceived a confused noise, a jumble of voices, pleas, shouts, raging, gasps, praise, and thanksgiving. Must the dear Lord listen constantly? I asked Hera. Yes, answered the angel, to the omnipresence, much more is revealed, what no one sees or hears, only He, the Most High. Only God can grasp it. These are only the voices of the earth that you hear, but He, God, hears the voices of the universe. From the chaos of the worlds now arose golden little clouds, which were glorious to behold. From them resounded a wonderful harmony. Alas, only a few such golden clouds arose from the whole. They seemed to me rare, precious gemstones. From them came sweet voices. They sang, Lord, thy will be done. As you will, O God. God is our love, our faith, our hope. Heavy tears of surrender, sighs, deep sorrow lay in the golden cloud, all born in God. Look, this is the purest and best prayer, spoke Hera. They ask for nothing but the fulfillment of God's will. They do not complain, they are resigned, patient. This is the prayer of faith, of love. Like arrows it pierces the sea of ether, swiftly. This prayer is already with God at the instant it is spoken. Gone were the magnificent golden clouds, their wondrous harmony echoed in my soul. Now all sorts of small silver clouds came, they flew so lightly and were so fresh and lovely. Like a breath of spring it came towards me, sparkling with fragrances. A wonderfully sweet chime sounded from it. These are the prayers of children, spoke Hera, God loves them. Listen how pious and faithful they sound. How full of conviction that God hears them. Here rings the prayer of poor children from need and misery. It is the strongest of all. They're the death knell of the angels who leave the earth. This silver cloud too, rising swiftly, sounds, sings, carried by angels' wings, up to God. Now the clouds grew ever darker. My gaze fell upon some light gray clouds, which were quite pretty to look at. Only the sound emanating from them was discordant, that was unpleasant. And they didn't move forward, they lay leaden in the ether. Look, said Hera, these clouds, which look so pretty and yet are full of dissonance, are the prayers of the hypocrites, the shams, and the Pharisees. It is lip service, a torrent of words that moves slowly and does not find its way to God. How these clouds were cleaved by the prayers of repentance. They shot up to God like lightning, like sparks of fire flying to heaven. They were the prayers of great sinners. Repentance carried them high. Carried by angels came the prayers of the dying. But, look, what stretches up to heaven like tongues of fire? That is the prayer and cry of those who are in mortal danger and misery, said Hera sadly. Cries of lamentation from those who only learn to pray at the last moment. This prayer is urgent. Here behold the prayer of despair, as it rises from all the others. Now all that remains for us to see is the last thing, Hera continued. Here in the black, chaotic cloud, which, like an impenetrable chaos, constantly revolves around itself, has no power to reach God and remains stuck on earth. These are earthly prayers. Requests for gold and splendor, senseless prayers of superstition, spoken without faith in the great God, cannot reach God, since they contain nothing divine, nothing spiritual. Do you know now? how you should pray. Hera asked me. Yes, I said, God, thy will be done. Amen, amen. Evil. We are sent to earth to overcome evil. Where does evil come from? Since God is goodness itself and everything comes from him, evil comes from the fall of the spirits. Where does the fall of the spirits come from? From pride. How could they but can well-crafted minds become arrogant? Footnote. C.A. and O. Versus Ve, spirit, force, matter. Ridiculous. Wanting to ban spirit communication. Can you forbid life and breathing? Well, as long as everything lives and breathes, so long will humans and spirits be one. In the last 30 years, spirit communication has acquired a system, a name. It has become a specific, pronounced matter of faith and philosophy, especially now. In the years when materialism and nihilism want to kill all spirit, God must have sent it that way. Spiritism, mediums, these are new words, as is paraspirit, nerve spirit. People whispered these to each other shyly at first, but now they are even found in the new encyclopedia. Progress. A sign that spiritism cannot be destroyed despite fierce hostility. The Greeks communicated with their gods, Socrates with his so-called demon. The Indian and Egyptian priests, the people of Israel, all communicated with spirits, angels, and supernatural beings. Jesus, too, had the visions of Elijah and Moses, which became visible to his disciples. Thus, antiquity is full of communication with spirits, ghostly apparitions. Even among today's pagan peoples, we frequently find mediums and communication with spirits. This is therefore a fact that cannot be denied. But in the enlightened 19th century, one should not tolerate ghostly apparitions and witchcraft, people say indignantly. It is not ghostly apparitions, not witchcraft. It is a completely natural thing, based on natural laws. Only these laws are still foreign and unknown to us, and now they are to become known to us, now we are to investigate them. One is supposed to believe in the miracles of the Catholic Church. They are nothing other than manifestations of spirits to people, and these were often called saints. The Church claims that spirits only converse with the devil. But as soon as one admits a possible conversation with evil spirits, one must, with logical necessity, also admit the conversation with good spirits. Even the so-called saints consorted with devils and angels, says the Church. Or perhaps the Catholic Church has the advantage of conversing only with good spirits. It should act more in the spirit of Jesus and not hurl anathemas at those who do not want to submit to the dogmas made by humans. Our role model in everything, Jesus, communicated with spirits. Of course, the apostle said, test the spirits. Every serious spiritual person does this too. Rigorously testing the spirits. A good spirit never escapes any test, and the spirit will pray for the unfortunate spirits. God will show him the right way. Spirit communication is meant to save humanity from unbelief, from corrupting materialism. 1,000 spirit voices call out to you, we live, we are. Humans, consider how you live. And this is supposed to be evil? Truly not. The floodgates of heaven have opened. God is sending his spirits to you, who are to testify to you of eternal life. That mischief can be done with spirit communication is certainly a great sin. But nothing has been sacred to humankind from the very beginning until now. A human being. A world that denies its God. That laughs at all religion. It is almost excusable if it also engages in nonsense, mockery, and deception with spirits. Seek here only the vexed opposition that seeks to infiltrate everything good and noble in order to corrupt it. Because others do not believe and mock God, should we do so too and abandon all religion? Because others do evil with spirit communication, should we therefore abandon it? No. that would only give weapons to the opposition. We will keep our weapons and bravely fight with them. Fall of spirits. Original sin. We are all born in original sin, so say the churches. Yes, indeed. We are all fallen spirits, sent to earth for our improvement. Thus, original sin is explained as a guilt that every incorporated being brings with them. Our sins do not originate from a pair of parents. Baptism alone cannot wash away this sin. We ourselves are fallen spirits, spirits that have deviated from God's law. We are sent to incarnation, to repentance, conversion, and atonement. We were pure spirits. God created us pure and good. Disobedience and pride brought us down. One sins more, another less, one needs a little, another a great deal of repentance, but everyone is punished for what they sinned in. Every sin punishes itself. The fall of the spirits is the origin of evil and temptation and results in incarnation. Let us now consider law and its opposite, law and its opposite. Although we clearly discussed this in the aforementioned book, Spirit, Force, Matter, we would still like to offer my explanation here. It belongs to the whole. We. Ridiculous. Wanting to ban spirit communication. Can you forbid life and breathing? Well, as long as everything lives and breathes, so long will humans and spirits be one. In the last 30 years, spirit communication has acquired a system, a name. It has become a specific, pronounced matter of faith and philosophy, especially now. In the years when materialism and nihilism want to kill all spirit, God must have sent it that way. Spiritism, mediums, these are new words, as is paraspirit, nerve spirit. People whispered these to each other shyly at first. But now they are even found in the new encyclopedia. Progress. A sign that spiritism cannot be destroyed despite fierce hostility. The Greeks communicated with their gods, Socrates with his so-called demon. The Indian and Egyptian priests, the people of Israel, all communicated with spirits, angels, and supernatural beings. Jesus, too, had the visions of Elijah and Moses, which became visible to his disciples. Thus, antiquity is full of communication with spirits, ghostly apparitions. Even among today's pagan peoples, we frequently find mediums and communication with spirits. This is therefore a fact that cannot be denied. But in the enlightened 19th century, one should not tolerate ghostly apparitions and witchcraft, people say indignantly. It is not ghostly apparitions, not witchcraft. It is a completely natural thing, based on natural laws. Only these laws are still foreign and unknown to us, and now they are to become known to us, now we are to investigate them. One is supposed to believe in the miracles of the Catholic Church. They are nothing other than manifestations of spirits to people, and these were often called saints. The church claims that spirits only converse with the devil. But as soon as one admits a possible conversation with evil spirits, one must, with logical necessity, also admit the conversation with good spirits. Even the so-called saints consorted with devils and angels, says the church. Or perhaps the Catholic Church has the advantage of conversing only with good spirits. It should act more in the spirit of Jesus and not hurl anathemas at those who do not want to submit to the dogmas made by humans. Our role model in everything, Jesus, communicated with spirits. Of course, the apostle said, test the spirits. Every serious spiritual person does this too. Rigorously testing the spirits. A good spirit never escapes any test. And the spirit will pray for the unfortunate spirits. God will show him the right way. Spirit communication is meant to save humanity from unbelief, from corrupting materialism. 1,000 spirit voices call out to you, we live, we are. Humans, consider how you live. And this is supposed to be evil? Truly not. The floodgates of heaven have opened, God is sending his spirits to you, who are to testify to you of eternal life. That mischief can be done with spirit communication is certainly a great sin. But nothing has been sacred to humankind from the very beginning until now. A human being. A world that denies its God. That laughs at all religion. It is almost usable if it also engages in nonsense, mockery, and deception with spirits. Seek here only the vexed opposition that seeks to infiltrate everything good and noble in order to corrupt it. Because others do not believe and mock God, should we do so too and abandon all religion? Because others do evil with spirit communication, should we therefore abandon it? No, that would only give weapons to the opposition. We will keep our weapons and bravely fight with them. Fall of spirits. Original sin. We are all born in original sin, so say the churches. Yes indeed, we are all fallen spirits, sent to earth for our improvement. Thus, original sin is explained as a guilt that every incorporated being brings with them. Our sins do not originate from a pair of parents. Baptism alone cannot wash away this sin. We ourselves are fallen spirits, spirits that have deviated from God's law. We are sent to incarnation, to repentance, conversion, and atonement. We were pure spirits. God created us pure and good. Disobedience and pride brought us down. One sins more, another less, one needs a little, another a great deal of repentance, but everyone is punished for what they sinned in. Every sin punishes itself. The fall of the spirits is the origin of evil and temptation and results in incarnation. Let us now consider law and its opposite, law and its opposite. Although we clearly discussed this in the aforementioned book, Spirit, Force, Matter, we would still like to offer my explanation here. It belongs to the whole. We.